Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
...of Jesus. And yet, the story sometimes gets a little watered down and we miss a lot of the key components of it. And Pastor was so gracious to let me just preach on this. As the National Men's Director, we are so excited about what God is doing in our men's ministries. It's slow. It takes, you go inch by inch, day by day. But God is doing some great things in our men's ministries. And thank you, men, who were here over the weekend. As they approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethpage on the Mountain of Olives. And Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them both to me. If anyone says anything to you, you tell them that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying to the daughters of Zion, "See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. There was a very large crowd spread their coats on the road, while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. The crowd went ahead of him, and there was a crowd that followed, shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all of those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those who sold doves. "It is written," he said to them, "my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things Jesus did and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. They were upset. "Do you hear what the children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," Jesus replied. "Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained prayer?" Very interesting day. They are outside the Eastern Gate area over by Bethpage. Now, in Bethpage, we have to remember there's been a mass number of miracles that have happened in the Bethpage area. And so the people of Bethpage, they love Jesus. They adore him. They think that he is the coming Messiah, which he is, and they are going to support his ministry and his kingdom. And so when they get in Bethpage and Jesus instructs two disciples to go get a donkey and the colt and they bring them to Jesus, the people of Bethpage understand exactly what that means. They're understanding exactly what's about to happen, and they are ecstatic. And because of their ecstaticness, they are now wanting to march through the gates of Jerusalem and share the good news. Now, to understand this, Jesus rides in to Jerusalem from Bethpage, meek and lonely. But yet, the people proclaim him a king, and he accepts this time the proclamation. He allows them to call him king. Before, he would say, "No, no, 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 no." And this time he goes, "Okay, it's good." Number two, they went and borrowed the donkey and the colt of the donkey. And we have to remember, this is why the children of Bethpage were so excited. When a king of Israel or in the surrounding areas rides a donkey, they're declaring there is peace in the land. When a king rides a horse, the king is declaring it is time for war. And for Jesus to declare, "I want a donkey, I do not want a horse," Jesus is saying, "I am riding in on peace, no matter what is going to happen. Because these situations should not destroy your peace. The peace of God passes all understandings and all problems. And so Jesus rides in on this donkey, and all these people in Bethpage are going, yes, it's time of peace. So as they're riding into Jerusalem, we have to remember some people are happy, some people are crying out of verse 15. We've got people, other people that are laying down their garments in the path of Jesus. And however, some people are displeased and they're angry and they don't like it. The children of Bethpage was not prepared for what was going to happen at the city gates of Jerusalem. They thought everybody was going to proclaim him king. Remember this, when Jesus gets into the temple, when he rides into Jerusalem, he's going to go cast out the money changers. Because in the midst of peace, in one piece of the area, in another piece, in another area of the city, there was great deception. We in our church, we have to realize that there are people who come to deceive the body. And there's people that come to bring peace to the guest. Now, if you're a guest today at Radius, I thank you for coming. I just regret you're not getting to hear Pastor Craig preach. We know you've had a choice of where you wanted to go this morning. You chose here. And we hope that today God speaks to you. And we hope that what's happened this morning with the messages and tongues and interpretations, that doesn't freak anybody out anymore. I mean, dear Lord, just watch the news. But here's what I would like to say. This church is divided into three parts on a Sunday morning. The front third of this church is where all the committed people sit. These people are committed. They come, they sit on the front row. They're all in. They're the early adopters. When you say jump, they just say, how long? The middle part of the congregation is what we call compromise. Now, the people who sit in the middle part of the church, they're in compromise. If they got a raise, they're going to come in here and lift their hands and sing. If someone runs over their dog, Jesus walking down the aisle can't get them to sit up. And in the back of the building, we call it conflict. Now, see, everybody right now is prejudging me, going, wait a minute. I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm part of this church. I'm sitting in conflict. You saying I'm conflict? I didn't say that yet. Yet. Conflict is where people who struggle sit. And those of you who walk by the peace of God, you've been strategically placed either in committed to resonate the peace. You're in compromise to calm the peace. Or if you're sitting in conflict, you're on special assignment to protect the innocent lambs from the wolves that are sitting in this building. Each one of you have been assigned your seat to protect the guest. And when a guest comes into this building, there are certain people and certain actions and certain behaviors that are going to happen. That if you don't watch those innocent lambs, they're going to walk out of this door and never come back. Because the peace of the body was not distributed to those who were seeking peace. So right now you need to look around and go, do I got a guest by me? Do I got a guest by me? Because as you do that, you aid the church in being able to reach out. Next Sunday, this church is going to be full of guests. And I want you to know where you're assigned, where God has placed you in this building, it's because next week you need to be prepared to love the people who haven't felt the love of Christ. And that's what happened here. The children of Bethpage thought that everybody was going to buy into Jesus when he showed up, and they didn't. And he has to go into Jerusalem and cast up the money changers. However, there was a multitude that went before him, and there was a multitude that went behind him, and you need to remember that. The second thing we have to remember about this ride, it was prophetic. It was a ride for the people first, but second of all, it was a ride of prophecy. Mark chapter 11, verse 10 says, "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." We have to remember earlier in Scripture that people had declared Jesus king, but he didn't accept it. Now he is going to accept this kingship, and when he accepts the role of his kingship, there is a very fascinating thing that's going to happen at the end of this ride. And it's all prophetic. Third thing is that it was a ride of possibilities. This ride that Jesus is taking is to make the church possibly the most powerful, motivated, unified, spirit-empowered, miracle-working church if they will just believe it. In Ephesians 4:8, the scripture says, "When he ascended on high, he led captives in his train, and he gave gift to men." Psalm 68:18 says, "When you ascended on high, you led captives in your train, you received gifts from men, and even from the rebellious, that you, O Lord, might dwell there." This multitude, they were singing as they were going. And here's how it would work on a triumphant ride. On a triumphant ride, the crowd that was before him, they would be singing, and it comes from a Roman teaching. This triumphant ride comes from a Roman teaching. And when a Roman general went to battle, and the Roman general won the battle, he was assigned to bring back to the king three items. He had to bring back the king's crown. And when he would bring back the king's crown to the king, the king's jewelers would remove all the jewels out of the crown of the fallen king and put them into the king's treasury. Number two, they would bring the fallen king's ring. Every king had his own ring with his own markings so he could stamp things. And they would get the fallen king's ring, and they would melt the gold down. And then they would put it in the treasury also. And the third thing they would do is they would take the king's robe, the fallen king's robe, and bring it to the king. And while they were standing in front of the king, the general, the king's seamstress would take the robe, and they would take it to the end of the king's robe, and they would sew it on the end of the train. So the power of the king was visibly seen by the length of the train and the different colors of the train. Isaiah says that the train of the Lord covers the earth. The sowing of the train, the glory of the Lord, now covers the earth. Wow. Well, it was also a ride of position. This position identified God, Jesus, to the Word, and how the Word was flesh, and it was Jesus. Jesus is conquering principalities. He's conquering death. He's conquering the grave. He's conquering sin. He's conquering the works of Satan. Jesus is being known for his identity. He is being known as Abel's sacrifice, Noah's rainbow, Abraham's lamb, Isaac's well, Jacob's ladder, Ezekiel's burden, Judah's scepter, Moses' rod, David's slingshot, Ezekiel's sundial. He is the husband to the widow, the father to the orphan. He is traveling in the night. He's the bright and morning star to those in the lonesome valley. He's the lily of the valley to the rose of Sharon, the honey of the rock, the staff of life. He is the pearl of great price. He is the rock in the weary land. He is a counselor, everlasting father. He's the governor of our lives on his shoulder. And most of all, he's the savior of our life. He's identifying with all of these positions. He is now letting them all come out. Because you're having to make an identity statement when you make a triumphant ride. When you make a ride of triumph through Christ, you have to make a ride through your identity. The people, remember, the chief priests are mad. People are healed in the temple. I mean, he cast out the money changers, took away the benches of those who sold doves. Then the blind and the lame and the deaf and those come to him, and he heals them right in the temple where he cast out the money changers. A little sidebar. The triumphant ride, like I said, was a tumultuous day. They ride in. Jesus does everything in the temple. Then he rides out. And all the people from Bethpage go out with him. Because if he would have stayed there, and they would have tried to start the crucifixion in the week of pain, the Passion Week, the people from Bethpage would have rioted on Jerusalem. And Jesus knew he had to get the Bethpage people out of Jerusalem so he could go back in by himself and deal with the cross. When God does a victory in your life, it doesn't mean that you get to abolish the cross or ignore it. It means you now have the power to deal with it. Now let's get this. This is where it gets fun. Paul writes in Colossians 2:15, having disarmed the powers and authority, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Colossians 2:15. The interesting thing about Paul is Paul understood the Roman triumbu. The Roman triumbu is what I've been talking about. This Roman triumbu was something that was it was a very high day. It was a very prestigious day. And what they would do is when a general was bringing back the fallen ring, crown, and robe, the country would do a celebration day, almost like a victory day parade in World War II, where they just shut down the city and they had a parade. And what they would do is they would close the gates of the city until the noon hour. And at the noon hour, the Romans would open up the gate. When they opened up the gates, they also closed all the businesses. And they had all the people of the city where the triumbu was happening. They all had to get into the streets to celebrate the victory of the army. Number three, as the streets would fill, the people would start taking their robes, their jackets, and the branches and lay them in the street to make a carpet for the general to ride on in his chariot. In the middle of the parade would be the general. The general would be in the town square in the middle. And the king would be in the middle. And the general would have to ride to the king in the middle of the town square. In the general's chariot were his children. But his wife stood with the king. And the reason that they wanted the children to be in the chariot is so the children could experience the accolades of victory and create a stronger family tree. On the general's chariot, the spoils of war were chained to the chariot. The prisoners of war and those of high position of the other army were chained to the chariot. They were chained at 6 feet intervals. And every prisoner of war had three things happening to him. Number one, their feet were chained so they couldn't run. Their hands were chained so they couldn't fight. And their mouths were gagged so they couldn't speak. And they would have to hop along the side of the general's chariot. And the children could see the victory of his dad. And these soldiers, these prisoners of war, would not be able to speak, run, fight, or anything. All they could do was hop along the chariot. And the chariot would move at a slow rate of speed so everyone could enjoy the triumbu. As the general got closer to an area, the voice would go loud. So if the general was way half a mile from here, we would be whispering, "He comes, he comes, he comes." As the chariot gets closer, the voice gets louder to where he's there. And when he's in their presence, they scream, "He comes, he comes." Paul knew all this. And so when he writes in Colossians that we've disarmed all principalities and he's triumphed over them openly, he's saying Jesus on the triumphant ride was doing more things spiritually than he was doing physically. When the general got to the court center, the general would take the robe, the crown, and the ring, and he would present them to the king, bow before the king. His children would be behind him. His wife was sitting next to the king, and he would bow before the king, and then the king would present his wife back to him. On this triumphant ride, we see Jesus riding in with no chariot. He's riding in with a donkey. He's communicating to all of the archangels, seraphims, cherubims, angels. He's communicating to the Father. He's communicating to the Holy Spirit. "I'm at peace with this thing." There's going to be triumph. There's going to be a victory. And I can imagine in my spiritual eyes that chained to the donkey, bound by feet, bound by hand, bound by mouth, were death, hell, and the grave. And this triumphant ride, Jesus is declaring to all the spiritual world, the worlds in heaven, the worlds in hell, the spirits that are on the earth. He's declaring to all of them, "I am the King of the Kings. I am the Lord of Lords. This is my dominion. This is my kingdom. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and it's going to be for you too." That triumphant ride wasn't for him. It was for us. It was the ride for the people. It was the ride for when you are going through a difficult time. Pastor, what did you call it today? No matter what. When you're going through that no matter what day, Jesus is saying, "Hey, don't worry about it. I rode for this." No, let me say that again. I rode for this. When you get the cancer diagnosis and you don't know what you're going to do and you cry out to Jesus, Jesus goes, "Don't worry about it. I rode for this." When your family's about to fall apart and you're about to get a divorce and you really don't know everything that happened, but you know you got some responsibilities in it. Jesus says, don't worry about this. I rode for this. This is not the end of your journey. This is not. You're going to a cross and you may feel crucified through it, but listen, I am the God who resurrects. And you think your life is over? It's not over. I'm just about ready to start writing a new book. I'm not going to add a chapter to this book. I'm going to start a new book. When you've gone bankrupt and your business is going under. This weekend's been a tough weekend for my family. My children live in Little Rock. And on Friday afternoon, my daughter called right before we started that service Friday night. Daddy, we lost the business. The hurt, the tornado destroyed my daughter's business. And I said, honey, don't worry about it. Jesus wrote about that. He wrote on that. You don't worry. He's got a plan. Don't worry about whether or not you got enough insurance or anything like that right now. All you need to do is find the peace of God that passes all understanding. My daughter is a St. Jude girl. She's fought three types of cancer. She was supposed to live past her 21st birthday. Today, she's 41. When she was about 6 or 7, they were going to do a surgery on her on the 22nd of December at St. Jude's. My daughter has a rare disease, and they were going to do an operation, and they were going to open it up for children oncologists, children anesthesiologists, and everybody to come and see it. My daughter had a few months earlier was having a surgery, and she became paralyzed from the waist down. And they called us into the operating room, and they asked us to pray. Well, actually, Teresa was screaming so loud. Daddy, pray. Pray like you're supposed to pray. And I know what that means. Pray in the spirit. But I got doctors and anesthesiologists. I got nurses in there. I mean, wait a minute. This isn't the right place to do this. This is Jerusalem. These people are mad at Jesus. And yet we prayed. And when we were finished praying, the doctor looked at us and said, would you pray for me? Because my grandma, I want you to do what you did for your daughter. I want you to do for me. Because here's the deal. It may look that there's turbulence everywhere. But peace, true peace of faith, calms any turbulence. We walked in there, the St. Jude on that, and they did that surgery. They talked to us. They let us know that Teresa was okay, and you know. And I'm just like, well, thank you. And I'm thinking, man, I've had two insurance companies go upside down on me. I'm $500,000 in medical debt. I'm 32 years old. I'm trying to be a minister, and I'm thinking, I got to give this up. I better go find me a job because no one's going to let me do this. And they called us down to the finance office. And there was a woman there, a Pentecostal woman. And she said, we need to apologize because we really haven't given you your Christmas gift yet. And we were like, paying for what we're doing, we can't afford anymore. We cannot afford anymore. We can't take anymore. I don't remember signing up for this. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand if you know. I didn't sign up for all this. I signed up to have a baby, buy Barbies, buy a bridal dress, And don't even get me started on that. Those of you who have a son that's been married, raise your hand. I do. Thank God. All I had to do is take him to a steakhouse and let him buy an $8 steak. Hallelujah, I was done. When my daughter got married, the dress she wanted, she couldn't find. We bought another dress. Looked really pretty. About 2 weeks before the wedding, she found her dress. And I said, well, take the first one back. That's when I found out you don't return wedding dresses. So we own two wedding dresses. If you'd like to borrow one, call me. I found out that you can buy $3,000 worth of flowers, put them in a 5-gallon paint bucket, and have room to spare. And I also found out that the average son-in-law, let's just leave it there. She called me one day. She said, Daddy, God's answered our prayers. We found the house of our dreams. We've been praying about it. With Teresa's sicknesses, a friend of ours told us about refrigerator prayer list. And what we would do is we would write prayers on the prayer list and put them on the refrigerator. But what was really cool that we really don't see a lot of is that when the prayer was answered, Chris or Teresa, my son or daughter, could take a crayon and mark through the answered prayer. And then you would look at the refrigerator a couple of years later and you would see all the lines where God had shown our kids. And we wouldn't throw the papers away. They'd just stay right there. The young lady walks in. We walk into her office. We sit down and Bev, hey, baby, she's watching this morning. Love you, sweetheart. And the woman says, we forgot to give you your blessing. And we said, well, we're really thankful that you've done all this for us. They go, no. The St. Jude Trust Committee met, and they had made a decision about your situation. And the St. Jude Trust Committee is going to pay off your $500,000 medical debt. When you think turbulence is in your life, you better start looking at the ride and not the war. Because you're sitting here on Palm Sunday and you're part of Bethpage. You're celebrating Jesus. You're watching him ride in. He's riding in your life on a donkey today going, hey, it's peaceful. I got this under control. Don't panic. Don't worry what the doctor says. Don't worry about what the bills say. Yes, we're going to be responsible. But we're not going to be foolish, but we're going to give God a chance to ride triumphantly into your situation.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.life or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.